For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. Welcome, everyone. We're in the middle of Chapter 7. We'll go back a line or two. We'll go back to line, let's see, should be 16. I'm going back to this because it's quoted often, and it sounds a little funny when you say, "Al tihi tzadik harbe," don't be too righteous. It sounds like, why not? Why can't you? Certain things, you can't get enough of a good thing. But the answer is, it has to do with being extreme. Whenever there's a certain amount that's exactly right, of course, that's the amount that we all do, and anything else, anyone that goes beyond what we do, they're considered extremists. They're doing too much. But it's important to have in mind that there's a certain amount of righteousness that's correct, and then there's a certain amount that's overdoing it. And you might say, what's the harm? So the example we gave last week was with Shaul HaMelech, that Hashem puts it in a person to have a certain amount of compassion. He gives, that's a gift. It's a gift to be compassionate. It's a gift to feel love and be forgiving. We can't always do that. There are a lot of times we just don't have it in our hearts to experience that. And unfortunately, he experienced that with the Amalekim, with the wicked people, that the mass murderers that he wanted to take pity on. And later on in his life, when he should have taken pity on the Kohanim, he said, execute them all. And the challenge was that because he overdid it in one area, whenever there is a challenge to overdoing things. And so sometimes we say, Al ti tzadik harbe, don't be, sometimes we say, don't be more righteous than God. You know, don't, yeah.
I like the example they give in the margin on the left of the page for verse 16.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What does he say?
16. You know, we've heard of this.
Oh, chasichote, yes. That's very good. In other words, if somebody is drowning and they say, if a woman is drowning, or there's a time to be pious and then there's a time not to worry about those type of things. That's correct. That's right. There are many, many examples. The Mesilas Yesharim, he calls this what's called a chassid shota, a pious fool. Meaning that you can be pious. A person can want to be a very holy person, but sometimes in his holiness, Rabbi Salanter talks about somebody goes to the mikveh to purify himself, and he drips on someone else's towel, or he gets someone else's clothing wet, or and he walks out dirtier than he. In other words, sometimes a person wants to wake up early to go to shul because he wants to be very righteous, but then he wakes up people in doing so. So you want to be very righteous and get to shul early, but on the other hand, you're not supposed to wake people up. So you have to find a way that your righteousness doesn't cause any harm. And so that would be, don't be such a big tzaddik. Don't be a... Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing... I'd rather be too much of a tzaddik than too much the other way. You know, don't be too much of a rusher. But that it's just an interesting expression. It's important to know that even being a tzaddik, you can overdo it. Al ti tzaddik har. And sometimes you could be too smart for your own good. That also is an interesting thing. Al tischachem yoser. And also, just like... don't be too smart. In other words, also, even with wisdom, as great as wisdom is, sometimes a person can be too... trying to think of a good example of that. I didn't have a chance to... but I think in our lives we've run across that, where somebody is too smart for their own... You know, things... There's a reasonable amount of doing things, of ways to go, and then there's an extreme. Okay.
What about the rest of that? I don't understand the rest of it. Where it says, why be left desolate?
Well, if you are an extremist, so to speak, if you're too righteous or you're too wise, so you'll that'll cause something bad to happen. In other words,
people want to not be with you, like ignore you or shun you.
Yeah.
Which is a pain to be with.
Yeah, one thing is, you know, it comes to us when a person is too righteous and too smart. People don't want to be around him. He'll be left all alone. Very good. That's. I think that I like that explanation. In other words, it's also if a person is more extreme in comparison to others or what's considered a reasonable amount of righteousness or reasonable amount. Now, this one though is a little bit tough. But don't be too wicked. That's the next one. So that implies a little wicked. You could be. So there is, we say that all qualities that exist are needed. Sometimes a person needs to, it doesn't mean that he should be a bad person, but it means that a person should, sometimes a person has to, someone has to be the bad guy. You know, someone has to, there's something that needs to be done. The kids are getting out of hand in the back of the shul. Somebody needs to go and say, shh, you know, or someone needs to go and get their parent and say, your child's, you know, knocking down the beautiful new shul addition, whatever. They're making a mess over there. So the parent's going to say, you know, who are you to come tell me? Well, somebody needs to be the, but when you have to be the bad person, don't overdo it. You know, don't be a Rasha Harba, but you could be, sometimes you need to be a little, someone needs to be the that person.
Rashi has something else here. Using a different book. Even if you've done something wicked, do not persist in your wickedness, mistakenly thinking that there's no hope of repentance.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very good. What that means is that this I'm also very familiar with. There was a famous sage in the Talmud. Typically, when a person became very wise and they studied a lot of Torah, it's very rare that somebody would leave the path. In other words, like most of the time when you meet like a Jew for Jay, it's usually somebody that was never into Judaism very much. It's very rare. All you have to do is come to our Tanakh class and you know that it's just absolutely silly, you know, the New Testament stuff is just, it's outrageous. You have to be a total fool to think that, those people that go there are people that are not very learned, not very knowledgeable, didn't have very many friends, and those other people, were receptive to them, and they got a lot of attention, and so then they were accepted. But it was very rare that a person who was knowledgeable went over to the other side, so to speak. So there's only one case in the entire Talmud of somebody who did that. And his name was Acher. Actually, they called him Acher. That was his nickname. And he went over, he became a sinner. He left the life of being a pious person and did all kinds of crimes. And he had a disciple that would study from him, even though he was wicked. He still had a lot of his Torah knowledge. That was Rav Meir, would go and study from him. And in fact, the famous story is that he was riding on his horse on Shabbos, and Rav Meir wanted to know more Torah because he had received the Torah from great sages. So Rav Meir followed him and asked him more and more, and he told Rav Meir, "You better stop because we're outside the Shabbos boundary. You better go back." So he turned to his Rebbe and said, "Rebbe, why don't you come back? You know so much, you know it's right." And he said, "It's too late for me. I've done too many sins, I'll never be accepted." And you'll hear this often, like sometimes people say, "Why should I be a little bit kosher? I know I'm not going to give up going out to certain restaurants, or I know I'm not going to do X, Y, Z, so why should I even do a little?" That's the Yetzer Hara talking. A person should never say, "I'm too wicked, it's too late for me, I've done too much wrong, why should I even do any..." Sometimes a person feels that way. Since there's no hope, they might as well go and do it. You know, it's not so. There's a story in the Medrash that when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a renegade Jew who had gone over to the other side. And they told him, "In reward for your helping us conquer the Jewish people, we'll let you take whatever you want from the temple." So he goes into the temple, and he comes out with a pure gold menorah. You know, they'd never seen it. I mean, the gold menorahs that King Solomon had were the finest of the fine. You know, it was dazzling. And they said, when the Roman guy saw that he took this pure gold menorah, he said, You can't have that. That's not. We meant something else here. We'll take the golden door. You can go and get something else. Because they didn't mean that he should, you know. So at that moment, he said, I angered my creator once. You want me to go in again? I'm not doing it. And they said, no, you have to go in. He said, I'm not doing it. And they ended up, they tortured him. And he said, I goofed. I should have never gone in the first time. And I'm not going in again. And they said at that moment, even somebody that was a renegade Jew that went over to the other side, that was willing to walk into the temple and pocket the menorah, at the point that he felt that he was used, he was willing to say, this far I'm not going to go. And a person, even if they're wicked, I like what that's saying is that you shouldn't be too wicked. A person, you could always do damage control. You can always say, a person should never say, what's the use? I'm never going to be perfect. I'm never going to do everything. Okay, do whatever you can do. But don't say, there's no hope for me. I might as well not do anything. No, do whatever. That's the advice is, always try to do what you can do. Never say to yourself, well, I can't possibly do it all, so what's the use? There's use to doing whatever you can do.
What about one of Rabbi Jesus? Wasn't one of his rabbis went to the other side?
Well, he was from a group that had reached a very high... Some people said that he went to the other side because he went to the what was called the Pardes, that they studied Torah so much in depth that they got confused. That, there's a debate about what he saw. Some people said that he saw a person whose parents asked them to go get them some eggs for breakfast. It's a nice thing for a child to get their parents. So there were no... The eggs were in a nest on a tree. And so he climbed the tree to get an egg for, that's how they did it in those days. You went up to somebody wants eggs, you go to the nest and get an egg. So it happens to be that there's two mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah promises long life. One is if you listen to your parents and you respect them, Hashem promises you a long life. And the other one is if you shoo away the mother bird. So this guy went up the tree, shooed away the mother bird, and then fell off the tree and died. So Acher saw this and he said, wait a second, there must be something wrong here. And he went, you know, there's according to, there are different things that we tell people, like, you know, that sometimes a person has a moment of shock, and we try very hard to think that we should never be tested, that we should never, like, in a moment of you know, we don't understand everything that Hashem sends, everything that Hashem does. There are reasons for it. So some people say that's what happened to Acher, or he got confused, or but he was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. That's right. So, but a person shouldn't be too wicked. Why should a person be a fool? He shouldn't die when it's not his time. Okay, verse 18. Tov asher tekzu b'zeh v'gam mizeh. A person should try to grab whatever it is. This word tev means to grab. Mitzvahs are out there, and a person has to literally grab them because they could fly right by a person. A person has opportunities. And there are some people in life who take those opportunities, and the other people, they don't. It's like it flies right by, and when you turn around, it's gone. You got to grab it. So a person should grab. There's a debate exactly about what are these two things, whether it means the good deeds and not doing the bad deeds. And a person has to make an effort to do the right things. And a person shouldn't just sit back and let life pass him by. If you fear Hashem, that's the person should. If a person can accustom themselves to thinking, what does Hashem want me to do? What does why, you know, if a person has that, the feeling is that that's really the secret of righteousness, is to be aware that there's a creator, and what does the creator want me to do? How should I react? If a person is always used to thinking that, that's what we call Yiras Hashem. He fears Hashem. Doesn't mean he's scared of Hashem, but he's in awe that I exist in a world of Hashem that created this world and wants wants us to be giving and wants us to do good deeds. What would Hashem want me to do? So the person who has that perspective, what would Hashem want me to do? Yotzis kulam. Then he's the one who overperforms. Whether it's the person who's very wise or the person that, and the person thinks about Hashem. 19. Now, I guess he wants to be careful. He said, don't be too wise, so you might think, well, you should be foolish. No. Wisdom is a great thing. But even, like I said, with wisdom, a person could overdo it. But hachachma ta'oz l'chacham ma'aser shlita m'sher b'yir. Wisdom can save a person. Sometimes wisdom is better than 10 people. It almost sounds like he doesn't like politicians very much. You know, that's where they translate 10 politicians. Or the. In other words, sometimes you have people that their power comes from the fact that they are above others. A shalit is a ruler. It means somebody that can tell someone else what to do. And they think that if they can be the boss over many people, that's where it's all about, is how many people do you control? And this is saying that wisdom is much greater than that. Life is not about who you can control. Life is about making wise decisions. And so he's saying that wisdom is much better than people that use wisdom. That's better than being controlling or being in a... And wisdom... sometimes people... We live in a world where you like to look around and see what other people are doing. And unfortunately... most people don't do wise things. I mean, it's just like, it's very easy to just follow what everybody else does. But if you look in the world, look at how many things that have happened that are not good. And just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that it's the wise thing to do. And so we live in a world where people, they get controlled by the media. You know, they want to stay up all night to catch the Black Friday sales, and and they're going to be the first one in there, and they're going to do this, or they're going to do that, or that. Sometimes the person has to step back and say, "Is this really worth it? You know, is this the wise thing to do?" And just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it's the wise thing to do. So the wisdom is a very important key.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just wanted to ask about this word shalitim, because a lot of times after we talk about a Torah
says,
we say
Shlita. Yeah, that's something else. Okay.
That's something else.
It's spelled the same way, by the way. That's mm-hmm. very... this word Shalitim means a ruler. Mm-hmm. Now, it is correct. When we write a letter or when we mention a great sage, so we say that when we talk about a righteous person, we want to give a blessing. So there are initials of a saying that are Shlita, which means sheyichye layamim tovim varuchim, that this person should live long, live a long, good life. So when you say shlita, so that word is the abbreviation shin lamed tes hey. You write that when you mention like a great person, you say may he live long and do well, you know, be well shlita. That's you would usually use that for a very respected person. You would say now even if a person isn't like super duper, there are other expressions that we use amush. In Jewish letter writing, there are a number of abbreviations which are used for blessing people. And many times when you see like a letter in Hebrew, you'll see like so Amish, like people with Amish means Ad Me'ev Esrim Shana. So you'd say, dear, my dear friend so-and-so, and then you'll see in the back they write Amish, which means may you live until 120. Or sometimes you write Nun Yud, which means like your light should go up, or you should... There are a number of blessings that we bless people, and they have a bunch of... So Shlita is one of them, which means like you should live long and be well, and instead of having to say out the whole blessing, they just write the initials. One of them is Beis Samach Dalet, which means Besata Dishmaya, with God's help. Beis Hei Baruch Hashem, or that. There are a number in Hebrew, like letters, sometimes you'll see them, and it can be confusing because you're saying, what word is that? But it's just an abbreviation for a blessing. Ki Adam Ein Tzadik Barzer Yaseh. Now, this is a very important rule. Why do you got to be so wise? Because the answer is you make mistakes. Now, you might say, why do you make a mistake? The answer is because you're human. Ki Adam Ein Tzadik Barzer Yaseh Tov Lo Yaseh. We get very nervous if anybody tells you that they're their Rebbe or their person, whoever it is, doesn't make mistakes, then they're making a mistake, because we're flesh and blood. People make mistakes. And that's important to know. And people have to plan that. They have to realize that they're going to make mistakes. Where nobody can be right all the time. So you need ways to fix it when you make that mistake. The Adam, it's interesting he uses the word Adam, like Adam, because Adam is the one that goofed. In other words, if you're a person who's a descendant from Adam, then guess what? He made a mistake. So guess what? You're going to make mistakes. Ein tzadik ba'aretz. And there's no righteous person, no matter who he is, who will do good and not... Now, the word sin over here, the word chota actually means veer from the past. It means like stray a little bit. And that's why we're alive, because we're constantly challenged and we constantly work on doing better and better. But we have to know that there's no such thing as being perfect. There is a view that many times we sin and we really can't help it. That's the human condition. And Hashem sometimes doesn't expect us to be able to pass every test, because how could he? Because we're human. We're not going to get 100. So the challenge, though, is how will we react after we make the mistake? So we have a tradition that the first two kings, King Saul and King David, both goofed in major ways. So King Saul, his primary requirement was to destroy the wicked people that existed who were living in our midst at that time. And he sinned. He didn't wipe out Amalek. And King David, he also sinned. He had a private sin. He sinned with Bathsheba, or maybe it wasn't. It depends on his level. Or there's a debate about maybe he didn't sin with Bathsheba, but he sinned with Bathsheba's fiancé. That's a whole debate of itself, a subject of itself, but they both goofed. So what's the difference then? Why is it that King Saul lost the dynasty and David HaMelech, the Mashiach, comes from him? And the answer is, when Shaul HaMelech was told he goofed, he said, "Who, me?" He said, "I did what..." He said, "Well, what's the sheep that I hear? How come I hear the noise?" You know, he said, it took him a while to admit his mistake. When the prophet came to David and said, "You goofed," David said, "I'm sorry. I realized my..." In other words, a great person is not someone who doesn't make a mistake. That's human condition. But a great person is when he makes a mistake, he tries to fix it, and he becomes aware of it. And so people, you know, there are many great people, and their mistake was that they weren't ready for the times they would make a mistake. They were so used to being right that they weren't aware that they also can make mistakes, and they need to fix it. And so a person makes a mistake if he thinks he's perfect and he'll never make a mistake. So that's Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz Yeshayahu. There's no person, and believe me, King Solomon knew. Gam l'kol dvar mashiyadav al-tin lima, do not pay attention to everything people say. Gam l'kol dvar mashiyadav. Sometimes you hear something, the kids are often like this, but it said, you know, it says right here that, you know, whatever claim that they're making or whatever they say, it says right here that so-and-so, but don't believe everything you hear. Gam l'kol dvar mashiyadav, just because people say it doesn't mean it's so. Asavdecha mekal lecha. And if you hear everything that people say, then you begin to hear that your own servants will curse you. This is also important. Sometimes you have to pretend not to hear certain things. In other words, sometimes people, maybe they're saying something, it's not so nice, so just ignore it. Sometimes that goes into being too smart. Like you, sometimes in relationships, the person doesn't have to listen to everything or hear everything, or you have to see the whole picture. But it's interesting that this verse combines the two. First, it says, "Don't listen to everything." And not listening to everything means even if somebody is saying something, your servants, well, the nature of servants are that they're not happy with the boss. And they're going to say, but if you make an issue of it, they're going to be even less happy and they're going to curse you even more. So sometimes you're better off not hearing everything. It's important not to make an issue of everything. Ki gam b'pamim rabas yada libech. And sometimes, you know what? You have to think about it. In your own heart, you curse other people. So, yeah, you have to try to understand where they're coming from, and don't take it personally. That's the nature of it. That people sometimes are not going to they'll be jealous, they'll be angry, whatever it is. But it doesn't mean you should react. It doesn't mean you should take it personally. And you have to be aware. If you were in their situation, maybe you would look at it that way too. King Solomon had a lot of servants, and a lot of them worked hard. Maybe they resented him. 23. Kozen Asisi Bechacha. And all of this he tested. He found this out. And I thought I would be wise. Amarti Echachma V'hirachimimenu. And you know what? I thought I would figure it all out, and it's still things were elusive. As smart as you are, there'll still be things that won't work for you. Rachuk ma shahayav amach amach miyipsenu. Sometimes things are so deep or so far away that you just can't get to the bottom of it. You also have to accept that you won't understand everything. Sometimes it's better to leave a question than have an answer that doesn't really solve it. You know, like sometimes people they want to have an answer, so they'll take a forced answer. Sometimes leave it as a question. You know, we can have questions. It's okay to have a question rather than have an answer that's not a real answer. Sometimes things are distant from us. It's a Jewish way to question or to have questions. That's really okay. But we try not to. When I went to school, that was very something I was taught was to always question. You know, like if you want to say something, you got to be willing to prove it and to back it up. You know, if you want to, if you have a thought or because things are not always easily answered. Okay. Let's see, verse 25. Sabosi ani v'libi ledas l'to b'chesh chachma. And I still sought to find wisdom. And I put my heart and my soul towards seeking out the right things to do. U'b'chesh chachma cheshbon. And I wanted to figure out what was the proper thing. Cheshbon means like an accounting. What was the way to go? L'das resha. And to know, part of you have to know the good things to do, and you have to know the things to stay away from. In other words, if you look around, you could see which things are not. Sometimes there are certain things that if you see people that get involved with them, it's not healthy. You know, like what happens to them? Like there's a lot of discussion about different types of drugs and other things. And sometimes the drugs themselves are not, you know, what's so bad about drinking a little bit? What's so bad about certain drugs? But it's what it leads to. You know, what do those people end up doing? They get addicted and they develop a certain lifestyle and, so sometimes you have to know where to what things to do positively and what things to do to stay away from. Kesa basiklus v'holus, and to know what's fooly, what's foolish, what's a waste of time, what's the way to go. It's funny, when I grew up, we didn't have as many TV channels as they do now, and you had to watch reruns, and. Most of the children my age were addicted to television. We spent hours a day watching, you know, growing up. That was just part of what we did in those days. We didn't have cell phones and other things. And at some point, after watching reruns, I realized that this is a waste of time. And I could tell you the shows, even to this day, I probably still know the exact, you know, like you would know what they were going to say before they would say it because you'd watch so many times, you know, I watched Star Trek, I was a Trekkie, and you know, I watched this one and I watched that one and I knew all the, but at some point it hit me that this is a waste of time. And today what happens is you change the channel, you can waste your time with a different show, you know, when you realize that it's a waste of time, so that motivated me to go and eventually I went to study because I didn't want to waste my mind. I realized that my mind was turning into mush, you know, when you watch, you listen, they try to tell you when to laugh. Because what happens is, even if they say a joke that's not funny, they have the people laughing in the background, and it tries to get you to laugh. And it just occurred to me, like, I'm going to let them tell me what's funny, and it's not even funny, you know? And that's like but that's what they're doing. They're trying to, and it just, because I had seen so many reruns, it just hit me that this is not what life's doing. This is just not what I want. And I was fortunate, because if we had all the channels we had today, I might still be watching TV and doing, you know, that. But sometimes a person has to know what's a waste of time. You know, a person has to be able to step back and say, This is foolishness. This is hopeless. This is error. This is a waste of time. Now, this you have to know how to take. King Solomon, he married 1,000 women. And it seems like it's not known that one of his queens was necessarily the... He didn't find the wife that was his perfect match. Now, he made a mistake in taking somebody. Why? We've talked about this subject, that he did in those days. That was a way of being able to influence a country, was by taking a princess from that country. That meant you had an alliance because you were mishpacha, you were family. So if the Jewish king had there were many tribes that lived all around there, and so if the Jewish king had a princess from this country and that country and that country, that meant that was like exchanging ambassadors. We exchanged ambassadors, they exchanged daughters. They gave their daughter to this, you know, that, because you didn't wage war against somebody where you had a royal princess in the that was up until 100 years ago in Europe. That's how they did it. The royal families in Russia and Great Britain and Germany, they were all intermarried with the same. They exchanged, you know, their daughters would marry a royal match. They had to marry another. In fact, the Archduke Ferdinand, the one that was killed, his wife Sophie was walking behind him because she wasn't the right stock. She was not the royal. He had taken a match that wasn't from the. So he took a lot of these wives. And apparently he never found the right one, and the one that he was searching for that was his soulmate. That's why when David found the right wife, that's why perhaps he jumped too quickly, because there were a lot of issues with Bathsheba. But when he saw her, again, he realized she was the wife that he could bring the Mashiach with and have, but there was a problem that she was promised to Uriah, and that was a, but when a person finds the right man, it's not easy. Marriage is not an easy thing. As we know, it's not easy to find the right match. And if you're King Solomon and you're fabulously wealthy and you're famous, the types of people, the way people would react around you, it's very difficult to find someone who wants to marry you because they're really a good person or they want to be a princess. In fact, they stopped taking converts in the times of King Solomon, because it was so good to be a Jew, to live in the land of Israel, that the people were coming in because everybody wanted their vineyard. You know, everybody wanted to join the Jewish people and have the gold and silver that were flowing out. And it was very popular. The people who were joining weren't joining because they wanted to be servants of Hashem and wanted to follow the Torah. They were joining the Jewish people because everybody knows Jews are rich. Look how good it is. Look at King Solomon's table. So the women that he was suggested to him, they all wanted to be rich and famous, or many of them did. And so he found that some of these women were a trap for him. And in fact, many of them brought idols into the Jewish people behind his back. And so he's negative on this. Now he's, by the way, he wrote Eishes Chayil. Now, that was his mother. I don't know if you know that. That was the song Eishes Chayil, Woman of Valor, was about his mother. This is also very interesting. You know, I don't like to speak that way because it makes us look funny at King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, and his wives. But it's just interesting what he says. A person who has a wife who marries a person because they want their riches, that can be a bitter thing. And that can be a trap for him. In other words, if a person is handsome and wealthy and well-placed, the kind of women that again, unfortunately in life you see it, you know, that sometimes people have to realize that there are people that are trying to entrap, you know, people that are not, it's not for the right. So he says, Mos ani mar mos es isha asherim mitzunim v'charamim. Not speaking bad about women. In fact, he says he's finding worse than death. That's a very strong expression, worse than death. Now, Samson also, by the way, had bad wives. You know, wives that, you know, did him in. Marriage, when it works out, is great, but I suppose when it doesn't work out, it's worse than death. That's what they say. Like the Gemara actually mentions this, that there's another verse that King Solomon says that like the best thing in the world is marriage. You know, how can it be the best thing or the worst thing? It depends on if you have the right match. You know, the right. So he says it's worse than death. As Isha, in fact, there's a famous Gemara where there was a certain sage that first quoted the first pasuk. You know, like who's the best woman in the world? So his son was studying with him. He said, "Who?" And he said, "That's like your mother." And then they got to this pasuk, like, "Who? What kind of woman would be worse than death?" He said, "That's your mother." So he said, "How could they both be?" Well, it depends on her mood, you know, like the. And there are people that have the seesaw relationships. It goes from being worse than death to better than. But it can be that people can get vexed, I guess, if that's the right word, or they get into a relationship where they just their life is really in shreds, that they just are so so. He's saying he finds that there can be a kind of woman that's trying to entrap a person, and v'charamim liba asurim yadeha tov livnei elokim. So, this person is really a trap for this person. Now, sometimes a person is attracted to a woman because of her looks or for other things, and this is also like a real trap for this person. So what should a person do? He should escape. Yemolet imani v'chota yochad bo. And some people get caught. In other words, some people they develop a relationship, and this relationship is awful for them. But they were caught. I know people that get stuck in relationships, and once they're stuck for life. Sometimes they have kids. Sometimes they feel stuck, and it's not good for them, and it's destroyed their life. It's destroyed their families. But they got entrapped. How do they get entrapped? Maybe because it was Haisha, the feminine quality. You know, it wasn't because this was the right person for him. It was something. You know, he fell in love, or he. And that's an interesting word, like, by the way, falling in love, you know, like it's he mm-hmm. fell. And
maybe his ego was being stroked and he liked it.
Correct. That's right. That's right. Maybe. Yeah. That's the and it's a little bit frightening that today people when they a lot of people will tell you they go out with a person based on their appearance. That's how they decide. And that's how, they have these Facebook dating sites where you look at the picture. Now, the pictures are all fake, you know, they do themselves up, yeah. And they take it when they're 10 years younger, and they have the, you know, but that's how they decide if they're going to, even observant people are like that, too, that they want to know what the person looks like, which is fine, but it's very external to look at a cover of a book instead of looking inside the book. You know, obviously you should like the looks of the person that you meet, but what's the looks are just the cover. They're not what's inside a person. What kind of heart do they have? What kind of neshama do they have? Shouldn't that be the first question? Not, you know, how do they look? You know, but we're just affected by our environment, because our environment, that's the first question people ask. You know, how do they look? Is she pretty? Do you ever hear somebody, does she have a good neshama? You know, does she have a good...
But you see the face. It takes a while to know the neshama.
That's true.
I mean, even if you check with people, you're viewed differently by different people.
That's correct. That's why it's a challenge. But the big challenge is that a lot of people tend to live in a world where we judge things by their cover.
Right.
The cover should just be the opening to open the book. And then once you open the book, you see if it has a good soul or a good... some people make that mistake. So now we get to verse 27, which I wish I could tell you a lot about, except this is the verse that has the initials of my name. Remember, I was telling you that there are certain verses. It begins with, my name is Reuven. So you're supposed to have a verse in the Torah that begins with the first letter of your name and ends with the last letter of your name. And so this verse begins with a resh and ends with a nun. So that this is a verse that I sometimes quote in my prayers to remember my name. But the verse says the following, Rei ze matzasi, this is what I found, Omer Kohelis. Now, he goes to his name. Kohelis means King Solomon, the name that he used when he had these gatherings of wise people, that he had big gatherings of people to study Torah, and that's called Hakel or Kohelis. And in his position as a wise person or people seeking wisdom, He said, this is what I found. Now, it's very interesting. Finding means that at first, it didn't seem like that was it, that this was the secret. But this is what I found. Look, this is what I found. Come and see, I'll show you. So what did he say? Achas achalim soicheshman. You take things one by one. In other words, sometimes people, they want to solve all the world's problems at 1 second, or they want, you just have to grab each thing individually. Do one more mitzvah, one more good deed, one more kind word, one more, you know, one more prayer, one more, just don't be over, just do one by one. Just see that the secret is that just do things one by one, just one at a time. If you try to solve all the world's problems, you won't solve any problem. What I found is achas achas, each individual one is the way to go. That's how you can add things up if you just go one by one. Asher od baksha nafshi. Now you might think that he was only against women. He says men also. It's not easy to find a good person. I also searched. I didn't find one man in 1,000. Or I only found one man in 1,000. It's also hard to find people. Like we live in a world where many people are external and many people waste their time. The Isha B'Koela, but even amongst them, he didn't find a woman in all of this group. We get frustrated because sometimes we see so much wrong in the world, there's so much evil in the world, and we feel like maybe we're making a mistake because look what everybody else is doing. No one else notices this. But King Solomon said, don't make that mistake. Sometimes it's only 1 in 1,000, and sometimes even less than that. It's hard to find good people out there. 29. Levad reizem etzaseh she'aseh lekim es adam yasher. He said that there is an inner voice that we have, that Hashem made us straight. Hashem made us, we're created in the image of Hashem. V'heimu bikshu cheshbonus rabbos. But then, we stray away from that. But we have an inner way, if we sometimes just take a step back and think about it, of seeing the right way. We have to, we have what we call the study of Musar, of ethics. A lot of that is to just sit and think about things. And we trust our, Hashem made us with a certain straightness. Made us with a certain, we have a divine soul that knows the right thing when we see it. But, sometimes, people, there are a lot of excuses out there. There's a lot of other things that confuse a person. And so, he kind of paints this picture. It's a little bit depressing the way he talks about, 1 in 1,000, I can't find a good woman, I can't find... But we just have to realize that we live in a world where there's a lot of mist, there's a lot of hevel, and a person has to take the time, one by one, you know, don't get frustrated. If you get a mitzvah, grab it, you know, just one thing at a time, grab it, and that's the job. And we'll all make mistakes, and there's a lot of foolishness out there, but that's what life's about. You just grab another good deed, one by one, and before you know it, it adds up to big treasures.
Okay. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.